Let us begin.
Hello, it's the Red Visor here, coming to you from London, in front of an arch. And in front of another arch. Some more arches.
Boink.
But none of these are as good as the arches at Whitney Villa, from where comes the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. Enjoy.
Nicely done.
Hey, on today's Living in Las Vegas, okay, let me ask you a question. When you think of Las Vegas, who comes to mind? You might think, well, no, Frank Sinatra.
No.
How about Don Kershane, Little Wayne Newton? No. The answer, of course, is Elvis Presley. So on today's show, we're going to be finding Elvis in Las Vegas. Where can we go in this town to get our Elvis on? Plus, we've got real quick stories, live chat questions, listener email, and of course, have a drink on me. This is a Living in Las Vegas podcast. I'll thank you very much. Let's get started.
I'll be here all week. Living in Las Vegas starts now.
Yes, it does.
Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada. That groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home. The Living in Las Vegas
podcast.
Here it is! Watch out! Get out! Drivers on the 15. Look out! Oh, now that's going to cause a
and
mark.
Now your host.
Yes?
A man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was.
Let's sing about this guy.
Mr. Scott.
Welcome, everybody, to the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas Video Network. Oh, yes. And if I might be so bold, I want to congratulate you because you're watching or listening to the longest running podcast about Las Vegas that actually originates here in Las Vegas, which means we're not only going to talk about what it's like to live here. Nope, we're going to be talking about adventures on the Strip, downtown, Fremont Street, other cool places here in the Valley. And by the way, if you're a visitor, if you're a tourist, you're a fan of our fair city, well, guess what? This show is like your own secret handshake to all things cool and groovy. We are live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Pacific time. Where? VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Again, VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Come in. Come on over. Come on over, baby. Join us in the live chat. Some of the coolest people here. Oh, Scott, you probably don't have anybody there. You're probably making it up. Really? Well, let's talk about this. Here's who's in the live chat already. We've got people in Las Vegas, Henderson, Michigan, Wisconsin, LA, California. We've got Illinois. We've got Austin, Texas, Florida, Portland, Oregon. We got Boston, Massachusetts, Rochester, New York, Prescott, Arizona, Chica, California, Minnesota. Hell, we've got people all the way in Ontario, Canada, and they are all the prettiest and grooviest people I've ever seen. And by the way, they're all quite attractive when wearing no clothes. Hey, I'm your host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa. Buenas noches. How you doing, hot stuff? Great to have you here. I am the founder, the owner of the Vegas Video Network, and have been an online broadcaster for 10 years. So thank you so much for supporting this show and supporting all the shows on the Vegas Video Network. I can say on behalf of everybody on the network that we certainly appreciate your support. All right, live chat, I'm going to let you guys get in on this. Over and under for today's show, what would you guess? It's our over under. For those of you who are watching the show for the first time or listening for the first time, we try to guess how long this show is going to be. And we're going to say, oh, we got a 50 minutes, we've got 68 minutes, we got 85 minutes, 91 people want this to go long. I'm going to go 75 and a hook. 75 and a hook will be. I also want to say hello to new in the live chat. We've got New York James. This is only the second time that he has watched, and he's decided to join the live chat. Pretty cool. He discovered us on YouTube. He may actually be watching us right now live on Roku. We're able to do that for those who dig that kind of stuff. So welcome, New York James. Thanks for playing along with us. You are, of course, now among the grooviest, and your whites will be whiter, and your brights will be brighter. Also, of course, thanks to Stuart, my around the world intro guy, and he brought in David to help point at arches. So thanks to those two crazy kids for making that magic stuff happen for us. Okay, so, you know, when you do think of Las Vegas, there's, you know, most people are thinking, oh, yeah, I certainly miss the mob. The mob was great, yes, because you want accountants who carry guns. Okay, and you think of the mob, you think of Sinatra. So there's certainly a connection there with Sinatra in Vegas. And then, like I said before, you know, Wayne Newton, Don Kitchen, God, he lives right here. Hell, he's doing a show over at the Bally's. But clearly the king. Elvis Presley is the guy most synonymous with Las Vegas, and he lives today. A lot of people don't know this, but Elvis is alive. Now, the truth is, when you move to Las Vegas, you are required to sign a non-disclosure. And the non-disclosure speaks about many things. Not telling people what 86 means, which means take somebody 8 miles out and bury him 6 feet under. We're not supposed to tell you that. But primarily, this is a big secret, we're not supposed to tell you that Elvis is alive. So you didn't hear it from me. Elvis is not alive. He died, and we'll talk about when he allegedly died in a few seconds. But Elvis is the guy. And so today we're going to talk about Elvis, Elvis Presley. So first, live chat people, people who are listening or watching later on, let's see how much you know about Elvis before we get into what you can do here in the Las Vegas about Elvis. First of all, who can guess what year Elvis Presley was born? What year was Elvis Presley born? Was it 1930, 1935, 1937? Live chat is already getting involved. And the answer is 1935. He was born January 8th, 1935. His first single, Heartbreak Hotel. First performance. Now, this is interesting. When was the first time he performed in Las Vegas? What year was that? Ready? 1956, 1958, or 1960? What was the first year Elvis Presley performed in Las Vegas? And look at that. The live chat's in. We got 56, 58, 59. The answer is May 9th, 1956 at the New Frontier Hotel. At the venue room. Guess what? It wasn't very well received, as a matter of fact. Frankie Pearl from the Las Vegas Sun writes, and I quote, "As he stands up there clutching his guitar, he shakes and shivers like he is suffering from itchy underwear and hot shoes." Clearly that affected the king, because he wouldn't come back for 13 years and perform here in Las Vegas. So the king, if nothing else, is sensitive. But he did film Viva Las Vegas. When was that shot? 1963, July to September. And then Elvis, of course, got married here in Vegas. He married Priscilla Ann Blue. Now, how old do you think Elvis was when he married Priscilla? And how old do you think Priscilla was when those two got hitched? It was pretty scandalous at the time, or was it? How old was Elvis? How old was Priscilla when they got married? And the answer, 32 years old for Elvis, and Priscilla was 21 years old. Man, these people in the live chat have got it. Danny Ackerman says 14. That was actually Jerry Lee Lewis, who married his cousin, second cousin, just so you know. So when you go see Million Dollar Quartet over at Harrah's, you can go, hey, are you still marrying the cousins? They like when you shut that out. By the way, they were married at the Aladdin Hotel, 1967. He began performing again at the International, which was then, the Westgate. It was a Hilton for a while. And now, I don't even know what it's called now. 1969, divorced Priscilla in 72. His last Las Vegas performance, December 2nd through December 12th. What year did he stop his last performance in Vegas? It was in the 70s. I'll let you guys guess for a moment. Stand by while I have a sip. Some good guesses there. We got a 77. We got a 77 in the live chat. Jimmy and Danny are getting involved. The answer is December 2nd through 12th, 1976. But here's the thing. The reason why we're doing this show, wink, he died on this day at 42 years of old, years of age in 1977. Okay. One of the things that Elvis did, and this has been written about before, but he was the guy who basically said you can have a second life by performing in Las Vegas, right? When he came here, and this is back in, his last time was, he came back in 69, ended in 76. He wasn't at the top of his game, but, you know, it kind of resurrected him. And this is become kind of a thing even today. I would argue there are some performers today in Las Vegas who are getting a second chance, Britney, as a result of being in Vegas, right? And it turned out very much like Elvis. Britney got in here. She wasn't all that hot when she got here. Next thing you know, she's blowing up. She's selling out stuff. She's lip-syncing better than she's ever lip-synced. She's in the best lip-syncing voice I've ever heard. Okay, so how are we going to honor the king? What are we going to do to kind of check him out? First, of course, tribute shows. Are there any tribute shows here in Las Vegas for the king? There's a couple, and let's kind of go through them. First, All Shook Up. Travis Allen, who was voted 2015's best impersonator by Best of Vegas. He's got a daily show at 6 p.m. at the V Theater at Planet Hollywood. So if you just want a little bit of Elvis, you're going to go see Travis. Guess what? Vegas the Show, which is an interesting show. It's one of my favorite kind of, what is it? It's like potpourri for 20, Alex. All kinds of stuff going on. But a dude named Josh Strickland, who's pretty well known in the community here. I think he was on American Idol or America's Got Talent or one of those shows. He does some Vegas-y stuff at the Saks Theater. And then Legends in Concert. Apparently there are, according to Rosie, by the way, thank you, Rosie, for doing this research, 12 different Elvis impersonators, maybe in the life of Legend. Is that right? Or is this every day there's 12? Because that seems like too much Elvis. But Billy Cherry, Johnny Fontenot, Graham Patrick, holy Christ, there's a whole bunch of them. That's too many. Not every day. Okay, good. Okay, terrific. Nightly at 7 and 9:30, Darks on Saturday, Legend in Concert show is different every evening with dozens of tribute artists. There it is, Harris Showroom, entertaining audiences for 30 years. Rosie should be writing copy for these guys. And then the last two I'll speak about, I've seen these two. The first, Spirit of the King. So we had Steve Connolly in the very beginning of the Vegas Video Network. We had a show it was behind the curtain with Steve Dacry, magician guy. And one of his guests was Steve Connolly. Super nice guy. Probably the most Elvis-y looking guy I've seen. There was a guy, and I just forgot his name, who was at LVH for a while, and we had him on a Talk Tales. Nice guy, didn't quite look like Elvis. And the hard part for him was he was trying to play all the different years, like Elvis in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. You know, that's a rough gig. But Steve Connolly was a guest on Behind the Curtain. Super nice guy, very good, and he's doing a show over at the Four Queens now. Which is in the Canyon Club. So it's the same place that Mike Hammer, actually Mike Hammer produces the show, for those who care. He was considered the best Elvis by the Review Journal, Tuesday through Saturday, Canyon Club, and just $25. So is that the best Elvis you can see? Well, maybe, yeah, Trent Carlini. Thank you, Shannon. That's exactly who it was, who we had on Talk Tales. Nice guy. And we went and saw him at LVH or whatever that was called, Westgate at the time. But the question is, who is the Elvis that you must see? Steve Connolly? Arguably. Or could it possibly be Big Elvis? Oh, yeah. Big Elvis is the one you have to see. Now, where do you find Big Elvis? How do you find a Big Elvis? Well, what you do is you run on down to Harris, and you go to the piano bar, and you'll fight Pete Vallee, or Vili, or Vallee, or V-A-L-L-E is his real name. He is Big Elvis, pretty well known here in the Las Vegas. He's very big, so big that he doesn't actually stand. He sits in a throne-like device, we'll call it a chair in this case, and he sings. And guess what? The guy can sing like a mother. He can sing. So if you want to really have some fun, go see Big Elvis at Harris. If you want to see probably the most authentic Elvis-y guy, I'd probably go see Steve Conley. All right. Now, let's Elvis be your guide. You want to get out a little bit. Of course you do. It's 145 degrees out. Why wouldn't you want to go outside and just drive around and get the feeling of what Elvis was all about? I've always liked that about you. You're not afraid of the heat. You're a very, very strong man. Or woman. There's the Pink Cadillac Tours. You got impersonators. Eddie Powers is out there. He's been on The Tonight Show, by the way, so he must be good. And so here's what you get. Two-hour experiences. That's 140 degrees. That's what, 280 degrees of temperature. It's $85 per person. Party of five includes Sights of Las Vegas, guided by the king in a custom pink Cadillac. Photo opportunities? You betcha. You can believe that. Oh, by the way, you also get complimentary margaritas and a souvenir photo. Oh, that's very nice. It's highly rated, by the way, on TripAdvisor. And you know if it's on TripAdvisor, it must be good. Actually, and Pops in the live chat brings something up. Go to Fremont, you'll see 57 varieties of Elvises. The problem is they're all wearing diapers. And those aren't the Elvises that you want. There's also an Elvis contest. Sometimes it's at Fremont. I think this last year they had it over at Mesquite, where you can see 57, 80, whatever it is, Elvis is up there, which is kind of fun, actually. So what else can we do? We can eat like a king. We can have the king breakfast at Mr. Lucky's at Hard Rock Hotel. What is it? Well, it's 14 banana pancakes with bacon. Banana peanut butter. That's what he liked. 14 banana pancakes with bacon, some peanut butter glaze, and maple syrup. Holy shit. For those of you who are hoping to get diabetes, I have your answer. All right. You want more. You want to touch. You want to see the things that were once Elvis. Well, sadly, actually, I'll get to that. Hard Rock Hotel, Elvis Key to the City of Las Vegas Award is there. It's presented in 1970. And then there's also his three-piece suit. By the way, he had the best mono suits, jumpsuits, anybody's ever had. And so I've decided to bring those back into style. Next show, I'll be wearing a jumpsuit. Don't judge me. Now, the one of the things that were super hopeful for Elvis fans was, again, over at LVH or whatever that damn thing is called now, was Elvis the Exhibition. Now, the problem with this is it's no longer there. It was open for just about that long, got a lot of cool stuff in there, spent a boatload of money making it all pretty. I heard it was pretty interesting, by the way. And then they said, no, we're not going to do this anymore. Let me see what Rosie wrote here. This is tough. I know it's in limbo. I have a friend who works as the ops manager there, and I'm hopeful to get the inside scoop. Look, we've got inside information from Nosy Rosie. How about that, everybody? Then, of course, there's the letter. Handwritten note. This is kind of neat, by the way. Handwritten note by Elvis, an inspiration for Wayne Newton's song, The Letter, on display at Wayne Newton's Casa de Shenandoah. So if you get yourself a chance to go over to Casa de Shenandoah, you'll be able to see a letter right from the king himself. Now, let's say you want to walk in the footsteps of Elvis, and really, who doesn't? Here's how you do that. You can drive the Las Vegas Strip while listening to Viva Las Vegas. Now, I would argue that's a stretch. So that's called creative license on Rosie's part. We're going to give her a demerit for that because my guess is that he probably didn't listen to that soundtrack while driving up and down the strip. Rosie, I just want you to know that we know. By the way, Rosie is saying it's a beautiful displayed artifact at the Shenandoah shtick. Also, sets of Viva Las Vegas. Listen to this. You can visit the Majorie Barracks Museum at UNLV, the gymnasium now converted into an art museum. Stand at the very spot where Elvis Presley and Anne Margaret danced in Viva Las Vegas. And of course, there's the Little Chapel of the West, virtually unchanged, although it has been physically moved twice. Oh, that's a neat little bit of trivia, since filming Viva Las Vegas. Okay, we all know that the king, his demise happened upon a throne, which makes sense. But what if you don't want to sit or poop, but instead you want to sleep like the king?
Huh.
I like that. That's a very important part of our lives. We must sleep. So let's sleep like Elvis. We could stay at the Westgate, which was formerly International, which was formerly Las Vegas Hilton. By the way, if you ask the right people, their main stage there, that's where they used to have Raiding the Rock Vault. So that was the stage that Elvis performed at. Now, that whole stage has been torn to shit and replaced since Elvis there, with the exception of a small square. It's about 12 inches by 12 inches, so a square foot. And they left that wood, that piece of stage, backstage, off on the wings, still there. So if you would like to stand where Elvis once stood, you can do that at the International LVH, whatever Westgate it's called now. Plus, alternatively, you could stay at Planet Hollywood, but there was no, right, it was the Aladdin. By the way, that's where we used to hang out when we first came here, before we were living in Las Vegas. Aladdin was kind of our go-to place. And of course, that's where Elvis and Priscilla were married in 1967. Speaking of married, well, hell, I want to get married by Elvis. Well, of course you do. How about this? The Viva Las Vegas Wedding Chapel, the Blue Hawaiian Ceremony. Now, tell me if you guys could tolerate this. The Elvis Blue Hawaiian Ceremony includes Elvis as a minister, right, singing three songs, hula dancers, or showgirls, or maybe Priscilla. You got music and decor, theater lighting, and fog. Listen, marriage creates a fog enough as it is. Do you really need fog as a warning to what's going to happen to your marriage? I think that might be overdoing it. I think that's kind of giving away what's going to happen to the menfolk in the marriage. Now, I didn't say that out loud, and if Melissa asks about that, deny, deny, deny. You get 6 rose bouquet for the bride, matching boutonniere for the groom, 10 candid ceremony prints. That sounds fun. Name and lights on the marquee, video of the ceremony, free wedding website and invitations, courtesy round trip limo to any hotel in the strip or downtown, chapel fees, plus a personal wedding coordinator. Live chat, how much would it cost to pay you to be married by Elvis? I'll wait. Meanwhile, the live chat, so Nosy says, every wedding ceremony deserves fog. Every ceremony, depending on how the reception goes, everybody's in a fog. Interestingly enough, a lot of the people in the live chat really don't want to be married by Elvis, although some people do have a price. Danny, of course, too much. She's not willing to be married by Elvis. But Gregor, you pay him $399 and he'll take that plunge. Of course, there's the Graceland Wedding Chapel. And among the longest operating wedding chapels in Las Vegas. Now, I'm not sure if they just called it Graceland that has anything to do with Elvis at all, but John Bon Jovi and Billy Ray Cyrus, Aaron Neville, folks from Kiss and Def Leppard, what are the chances any of those people are still married again? I would argue probably pretty low. Okay, festivals, annual Elvis Festival at Sam's Town. Well, it's mid-July, we missed it, but you can go there. Elvis for the good. All right, get this. This is kind of neat. When you think of good things, you think of us. Opportunity Village was the first manufacturer of Elvis Presley's famous scarves. The scarves are still produced today by Opportunity Village clients. By the way, Opportunity Village provides employment and services to adults with intellectual disabilities. It's actually just down the street here. That's the people who do that Christmas thing that we talked about last year. It's a lovely organization. Very, very, very well done. Very well organized. They've got their shit together. It's kind of cool. But who knew that the how much do you think Danny should be able to answer this? How much would a scarf from Elvis Presley be worth on eBay if I had a photo of that scarf as it was being handed to me or to a woman? Meanwhile, let's see. Ted says, because he wants to talk about something. Critics like Elvis Costello and hate Van Halen because most music critics look like Elvis Costello. David Lee Roth. Very good. Danny tells you, no, this is interesting. So if you're listening to this show or watching the show, this would be a good guess. Danny has given me a number. Of course, in your live chat, you've already seen what she says. Oh, look at this. Danny just looked it up. Holy shit. So I said, how much would that cost? And Danny found one. In the time I said that, Danny found a scarf, a pale blue scarf given to a fan from the... So the answer is, it's interesting. So CB in Wisconsin thought it was $1,200. Binky thought it was $10,000. Danny is saying about $3,000, $3,400 for that scarf. Who knew? Holy shit, that's pretty cool. Let's see. Things that didn't go well for Elvis here, of course, the exhibition. And, of course, Cirque's Viva Elvis permanently closed. And I will tell you why. Because it was horrible. Oh, my God. It didn't even look like a Cirque show. It was so bad. By the way, that space is the place where Cirque shows go and die. Sarcana, Elvis the show. Yeah, you don't want to be there. Well, actually, you don't have to be there anymore because they're turning that space into convention center. And by the way, you can sleep at the Normandy Motel because according to this, Elvis slept there as well. Okay. To all those people who are part of the Presley family, our condolences for his death. And actually, this is a good question. Ted in the live chat asked Danny, how do you verify that? How do you authenticate that? I would assume that if you had a video or a picture, that might help that they're both pale blue. But how do you know that's the pale blue deal? I don't even know how you would do that. Actually, I'm a little confused by that. All right. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. This episode of Living in Las Vegas is brought to you by the Vegas Video Co-op. Because your online presence is often your only chance to begin a meaningful sales conversation, please take a moment and visit VegasVideoCoop.com. Highlight your business, start a talk show, or unleash your genius for a low monthly fee. Use promo code LILV for a special discount to our viewers and listeners. That's VegasVideoCoop.com. Three studio tours tomorrow. Two. Hey, here's the good news. If you buy that scarf, it has Elvis's sweat stains on it. Come on, right? That's
Tomahawk said no.
God damn, that he does. All right, we got a couple emails we're going to do. This is the way this works, by the way. If you want us to answer a question, and we'll take any question. We're not afraid of anything, are we, kids? You're going to send it to onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, right down there, onairq@livinginlv.com. Our first question comes from Kimberly McKenzie. And where does Kimberly from? She does not say. We're going to call it Greece. And Kimberly writes, hey, Scott, I've been watching the live podcast now for a year. Look at that. She's watching the live podcast. She may be watching right now, but we would not know because she's a CIA spy or operative. They like to be called operatives. She's not in the live chat. She's just watching all. She's probably checking everybody in the live chat, probably doing some IP back in the second flight of Stadio checks, and she knows where all of us live. Okay, great. Good talk. Thanks, Kimberly. A year ago, I made the huge decision to relocate my 14-year-old daughter and myself from Philadelphia, PA to Las Vegas. I am so happy to tell you that your podcast has really helped me with this decision and with my move. I would like just to take a moment, if you wouldn't mind, and maybe you could reach out to, oh, I don't know, the LVCVA and say, hey, that podcast made me decide to move here. By the way, I know there's somebody in the live chat who moved here partly because of our podcast. So we're bringing people together, one or two visitors at a time. Okay. I don't believe there is any other podcast that quite prepares travelers for this city the way living in Las Vegas does. Thank you. Although I am now an official local, I am still in the honeymoon stages of my residence here, and that will last for a little while, I can tell you that. So it's actually a little overwhelming, quite frankly, when you first move here. It's, you know, even if you come here on vacation a lot, we didn't come a lot, but we would come maybe once or twice a year, but just for, you know, a couple, 3 days, a long weekend. When you move here and you recognize what's available to you, it's a pretty interesting environment. It's A, easy to get a little overwhelmed, and B, it's depending on, well, you're a little bit different because you have a 14-year-old daughter, but if you come here and you don't have, you know, like children responsibilities, it's not hard to go, holy shit, this town doesn't shut down. Bars forever, food forever, drinking and partying and shows and dinner and oh, yeah, you can do that. So you got to kind of pump the brakes a little bit when you come here and decide, yeah, I'm just going to kind of ease into all the cool stuff that's here, which is why I'm drinking right now. I'm still easing myself in 11 years later. Okay. Although I am a official local, I am still in the honeymoon stages here. So I am still discovering so many great things about the city, along with a few not so great things, LOL. However, the city as a whole is spectacular to me. And that's really interesting too. This is what ends up happening when people do move here. People tend to have a very black and white opinion of the city. And you can see this on message boards and responses to articles. You'll see that quite a bit here. But people either they get it or they don't. And I think a lot of times it depends on who you're hanging out with, the types of people you find yourselves hanging around with. Las Vegas is a very transient town. A lot of people come here to try their luck, and both at the casinos, but moving here. For some reason, I think a lot of people move here thinking they don't have to be as good as you would have to be if you moved to, say, Austin, Texas. You know, a real city. And so they end up coming here and they end up realizing, oh, it's not great. So it kind of depends on where you see. And I've seen both sides. I've seen kind of the dark underbelly of Vegas. Some of the shine has come off a little bit. But overall, I'm still, you know, pretty much a fan. All right. Anyways, just want to know if you have ever heard or seen a band by the name of 80s Station. So live chat, I'm asking you that as well. They are an 80s era lover's dream come true. As far as I know, they typically play the Ravello Lounge inside the M Resort every Friday night and Fremont Street every Saturday night. Check them out on YouTube when you have time. I would also like to ask if you would consider doing a show about local wedding venues here in town, on or off the street. Most people tend to showcase the wedding chapels in town, but I'm more interested in the quality of reception venues. It's so interesting that you asked that question. I'm going to stop for a second. Let's see. Let me talk about the wedding thing. We actually have a co-op member, LV Wedding Connections, and we've been producing a lot of content for them for their website. There is a good chance, there's a chance that they may end up becoming a show on the network. Weddings. It's interesting about weddings, actually. So weddings here in Vegas used to be big, 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 big business, right? It's dropped off significantly. And so there is a concerted effort by the state and the county, but the state to say, holy shit, we're losing this business, especially in Clark County, especially in Vegas. We got to kind of figure out what the hell's going on and fix it. So they are sending money to help, you know, start marketing again that Vegas is a place to come and get married. So it'll be interesting. The content we've done for them in the co-op has been pretty good. I've been pretty happy with it. And the gal who is the member is arguably one of the most experienced wedding people here in Las Vegas. And her specialty actually is not just the chapel part. She's not tied to any particular chapel. It's the reception. It's having weddings outside of the normal chapel-y kind of thing. So she'd be a good fit. Maybe I'll bring her on the show and just talk to her about that, even if she doesn't do her own show. I know this topic might not be on the top of the list for you, but I would absolutely love your honest opinion about this. I plan to continue to tune in the podcast each week. Thank you for your humor and your honesty. Kimberly McKenzie. Well, thank you, Kimberly. Also, I haven't heard of that band, 80s Station. It did remind me of, I don't know if you guys in the live chat remember this. If I say Nancy Reagan's, does that ring a bell to you guys? If you are a viewer of the Vegas Video Network several years ago, Dave Ivey created a show called, a band called the Nancy Reagan's, for Nancy Reagan. And man, it was a really pretty cool 80s band. It was all about that. And their timing was perfect. It was that year that Fremont Street was doing nothing but 80s bands. So it was a pretty cool play. But no, I have not really heard of the 80s Station. Can anybody give me five good songs from the 80s? I can give you five good songs from the 70s off of any, I don't know, Van Halen album or Led Zeppelin album, or should I continue? It's probably not fair. But okay, 80s music is fine. I'm only playing with you, Kimberly. But I'll check them out. Or I'll have somebody else check them out. Hey, Rosie, why don't you go check out 80s Station at Fremont Street this coming Saturday night. Tell me what you think about it. We'll get her honest opinion. We'll put it on the show. What do you think about it? Next up, Todd Rudisill. Todd writes, hey, Scott, hope all is well and hope that you're enjoying the hot Vegas summer. I am. I was wondering if you would touch on the National Finals Rodeo, NFR. I know it's a huge December event in town, but I don't hear much about it. Does the town go country? Are there stagecoats racing up and down the strip? Any gunfights? In all seriousness, if you would touch on the special events that go along with it, do any bars, any restaurants, or clubs have any special promos? Any must-dos that time? I will be attending the rodeo, so we'll be in town for this event. Just want some of your Vegas wisdom to go along with my trip planning. Ready for the show tonight? Have a great day. Todd from Oklahoma. P.S. Sooners win the national champion. Hurry to the window and bet on it. Okay. NFR. Is it a big deal here? It is monstrous here. I don't know. I would guess... I don't know this for sure. Ted might know this in the live chat, but I would guess that the NFR, the National Rodeo thing, Finals Rodeo, probably is among the top five revenue generating events in Las Vegas. I'd say, yeah, CES is up there. Clearly, the EDM thing is probably up there, probably number one. The rodeo thing has got to be, might even be top three. It's monstrous. So when you ask, does the town go country? Yeah, you're goddamn right they do. We don't have stagecoats. We might actually have stagecoats going up and down. But seriously, do any bars, restaurants, or clubs have special promos? It'd be easier to say, do any bars, clubs, or restaurants not have promos? Listen, everybody is on top of this, especially, of course, on the Strip. And so not so much off the Strip. So you're not going to see probably a big rodeo push at Red Rock Casino, which is fair. But up and down the Strip, holy camoles, they're fucking everywhere. So NFR, CES, EDC, probably top four. Yeah, I get that. And here's the other thing that's really cool about NFR. One of the places to go if you really want to get a taste for what it's like to be among those folks is go down to South Point. We did this, it must have been 5 years ago. And I'm not a country guy. I'm not a country western guy. And quite frankly, if the whole idea of, bull wrestling, wrangling, riding, I think that's bullshit. I always vote for the bull. When the guy falls off the bull and he gets stabbed, I'm like, yeah, there you go. Maybe you shouldn't ride a 1,500-pound pissed-off animal that you're poking with fucking spurs, you idiot. So I'm all for the bull. God bless the bull. However, I will say this about that. If you want to really soak it in, yeah, you could go over to TI and whatever that country, Gillies. Sure, you're going to get a couple. You'll get cowboys there every day. You'll get somebody wearing boots. But you go down to South Point, during NFR, and it is shoulder-to-shoulder cowboy hats. That's actually probably more hat-brim to hat-brim cowboys. They're everywhere. But here's the thing about it. I don't know what you think about cowboy folks, about folks in the Midwest. I don't know if you think they're smart or dumb or happy or sad. But I will tell you what they are, and that is they are arguably the most polite people you will ever meet. Excuse me, ma'am. How you doing, sir? Can I help you, my brother? I mean, they're just the nicest people you'll ever, ever meet. I couldn't wait just to kind of mingle with them. And, you know, when you think Scott Whitney, you think cowboy. But they couldn't have been nicer. You know, Melissa walks by. Excuse me, ma'am. Here, let me move this aside for you, ma'am. Oh, I just think it's the coolest thing. You know, there's something to be said for people who are polite. And I really liked it. So now I'm not going to be driving down to South Point every NFR just so I can hang out with a bunch of country boys. But they're everywhere. By the way, FSC, Fremont Street Experience, I guarantee you it will be country music all up and down that thing, all three stages. You'll have country bumpkin and the beatbops and the meatball pumpkins and the what. They'll be everywhere. It'll be country, country, country. So absolutely, Todd, if this is your first time, I'm assuming this will be your first time coming here, you will be in nirvana when it comes to anything that is country. You won't be able to get away from the country unless, you know, arguably you get your hell, you get yourself the hell away from the strip. All right. A real quick story is a couple quick ones real fast. First, again, thanks again to excuse me, Stuart and David for doing the opening video. I would love for you to do the same thing. Just take your camera on your phone, make sure it's in landscape and do the intro. Hey, I'm Scott Whitney from Poughkeepsie, and you're watching the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. By the way, you'll notice by Stuart, he has become the video auteur, and he's adding all kinds of fun stuff, themes, arches in this case. Have fun. We want to show folks that we have people from all around the country, all around the world who are watching. And I would love to highlight you and thank you for doing that. And if you're in the live chat, you haven't done it, well, you're going to hell. Couple things that were kind of fun. So last Wednesday, a week ago tomorrow, I had a chance to go to, and I've done this once before, a thing called Composer Showcase. This is arguably one of the most fascinating entertainment options in Las Vegas. It's done by a guy named Keith Thompson. Keith is the musical director of Jersey Boys. He's also been the musical director of damn near every Broadway-style show here in Las Vegas. That's Keith right there opening the show. And what the Composer Showcase is imagine this. You've got all these talented people running around Las Vegas. And they're performing at all these different shows. Jersey Boys, MDQ, Raiding the Rock Vault, who knows, whatever. They're out there running around. And they're singing other people's songs. And remember what Chris said. I'm not sure if anybody remembers what Chris said. But you'll remember that Chris had no interest in writing his own music, performing his own stuff. He wanted to sing other people's stuff, you know, preferably American songbooks, Sinatra, E kind of stuff. But there is a boatload of people here who are trying to take the next step. Because, remember, if you work for Jersey Boys, or you work for Raiding the Rock Vault, or whatever, you are working for somebody else. And you never know where you might get the talk after the Thursday show. Guess what, everybody? This is our last show. Or we're going to be gone in 2 weeks. Or we're going to be moving to a smaller stage, and you people on the air list won't be able to play. That shit happens. So people are out there trying to figure out, what can I do to create my own way, right? Keith is a good example of that. So, you know, he's the musical director over at Jersey Boys, but he also wrote the music for Idaho the Musical, which is a big hit here in Las Vegas, and there's rumors it might end up going to Broadway. Pretty neat. So what the Composer Showcase does is it allows local entertainer, local musicians here to come in and play their own music. So it can be as simple as, you know, you with, you know, a small group of people, and this is, you know, or you could be a solo guy, just a piano and a girl singing, or you could have a full orchestra with strings and horns and guitars and background singers and all that good stuff. I mean, all those things are there and they're all possible. The question is, how do you get in? Well, all you got to do, this is magical, is go to the Composer Showcase at Smith Center. Now, it happens usually once a month or so. This last time, it hadn't happened for 3 months, and I was Vegas Video Network was a sponsor of this last show. And it was just terrific. It's just a great time. It's about 2 hours. The only real downside is it starts really late. And it starts late because they got to let everybody else out of their shows before they can come to this show, right? Which makes sense. So it starts at about 10:30 or so on a Wednesday. So that's, you know, it's a school night for most people. And that might be a little rough for some folks. But if it's not too late, I absolutely recommend you going. Because if nothing else, you might meet some fascinating people. So, for example, how many remember Laverne and Shirley? Right? Sure. Penny Marshall and Cindy Williams. So I was seated in my little seat, my little table, having a rum and Coke. And who sits next to me but Cindy Williams? And she was... a really, really good sport. So I introduce myself when she comes to my table, and we're hi, I'm Scott, and I'm blah blah blah. And we're chatting, and she was with a couple producers for the show Menopause, and she's performing in Menopause right now. So she was very, very nice to me, very open to talking, and there was a break in our conversation. I don't know what was going on, and so she. She taps me on the shoulder. I was sitting next to her. And she goes, she calls me Paul. Hey, Paul, would you like, you know, one of our sandwiches? And I'm like, no, Julie. By the way, my name's not Paul. So we spent the rest of the evening calling each other names that weren't our names. And then these pictures you see here, I said to her, look, I've told people that you're coming. I've also told that you've been pestering me for a photograph because you're just kind of a stalker. Have some fun with it. And she completely ate it up. So I'm going to go see Menopause just because Cindy Williams was really nice and I didn't think she would be. So go see Cindy Williams at Menopause. And thank God there are people out there who are nice even though they're famous. I think that's pretty cool. Also, I was going to talk about this a couple weeks ago, but we got a little sidetrack. Chris Phillips. But you remember I mentioned going to a taco eating contest at the Palms. They called me and were like, yeah, we're having this taco eating contest. We would like for you to be a judge. Well, yeah, sure. That sounds like great fun. So I went. And it was the biggest clusterfuck you've ever seen in your life. They had no idea, but I had a good time. So eating Las Vegas fans, John Curtis fans, there's John. He was a judge as well. So we had some fun just kind of hanging out. They didn't really know what they wanted us to do. When we first came up, they're like, okay, we want you to count the tacos people are eating. I'm like, that's not judging, that's counting. And we've had a couple beers. Is that really the smart thing for us to do? So then they bring in these girls that they're going to have you count. And I'm like, well, that's probably not the exact. And then they, they're going to hold up the signs for counting. Oh, okay, there you go. These guys over here are going to count. Great. Well, what do we do? We're going to have you judge the messiest and the classiest or something like that. I'm like, you guys just made this shit up just now, didn't you? Well, you know, kind of. But so we basically hung out. I hung out with John and these other people who were judges, and we, you know, had some beers and kind of hung out, and we watched people eat. So that guy, the red-haired guy right there, he's the guy, I forget his name now, who does all the Nathan hot dog. He wins all those contests. That's the guy. And the woman there was said to be like, the shit, like she was the one that everybody was kind of like, oh, she's the tough one. Okay, really? Yeah. So you can see that it's very pretty. It's all very graceful. But if you look at the count of these guys, these two here, the woman won. She ate 160 tacos in 10 minutes. And the Asian guy in the red hair, he ate 150 tacos. They ate over 300 tacos in 10 minutes. Now, I will say this about that. She puked a little bit, which I said, well, that should be probably part of the messiness. She should probably win for that. That wasn't clean. But the truth of the matter is, I don't think they even listened to us. They were so confused. Here's the other thing. So this was sponsored by, let me see if I can see the sponsor name on there. Whoops. Hey, look at that smoke. There's smoke. It's in your eyes. Can we see it? Yeah, Chronic Tacos. Yeah, Chronic Tacos. Prior to the professional eaters, they had an amateur contest. You guys know who Wee Man is? Right. So he was there. So Wee Man's there. Now, this happens before we show up, and he's there doing the contest thing, and he's not really doing anything, so I heard, but he's just kind of hanging out. He's Wee Man, you know. He's, you know, it's pretty cool. So I see Wee Man a little bit later. No, he is not dead. He is still alive. And so I see Wee Man. They're doing the preparing for the big con. I see him standing by himself. I'm like, hey, I think I'm going to go and chat with Wee Man. I'm a friendly guy. We'll see how that goes. So I go up to him. I say to him, yeah, yes, Wee Man is from Jackass. I forgot to say that. So I go up to him. I go, hey, how did you get roped into this? Which clearly is, you know, you don't want to be here. But, you know, what happened? And he's like, I'm a part owner of the taco company. I'm like, oh, fuck. And I thought to myself, well, guess what? I guess this conversation is pretty much over. And now, and he's a little fella, right? But he was able to give me a big boy body language that we're done talking now because you made fun that I am here shilling tacos. So here's a tip from your Uncle Scott. If you see Wee Man, don't say, who roped you into this? Say, God, it's so great to have you here. We really support you being here. And that's probably a better way to go. Okay. How are we doing on time? Oh, we're doing very good. All right. Quick, a couple quick chat questions. Jimmy wants to know, are the local casinos going to charge for parking or only strip properties? This is an easy one. Only the strip properties. No local casino would have would be idiotic enough. Well, first of all, most local casinos have a lot of outdoor parking, just, you know, out there in the streets, no cover parking, so they wouldn't do it anyways. But a local casino who charged for parking would no longer be a local's casino. Pops wants to know, being in the middle of nowhere, ouch, does it cost more to ship from Vegas to the other 48 states than any of the city? No, it doesn't. It's, you know, and Danny actually mentioned this live chat, it's simply a distance thing. So UPS, all these guys have a map. You can go to the map and say, okay, I'm in zone 2, which is what Vegas is, let's say. LA is zone 1. I don't know. Phoenix is zone 3. Texas is zone 4, 5, 6. And it's completely based upon distance. So it's going to cost me more to ship UPS to New York than it is to LA. But it's going to cost somebody more from New York to ship to, I don't know, Florida than, say, Pennsylvania. It's the same kind of deal. The thing that really sucks about Vegas from a travel perspective is there's not as many direct flights to vacation destinations than you would expect. When we first moved here, I thought, man, we're Vegas. Everybody's flying into Vegas. That must mean I can fly to everywhere else. Nope. Perfect example is I can't get a direct flight down to Cabo. And like any of the Caribbean things, you know, if you're in Philadelphia, you can get a direct flight to the Bahamas or to Jamaica or whatever. You're in Las Vegas? Nope. You're taking 2 flights minimum to do that kind of thing. And I never really understood that. But other than that, yeah, shipping is shipping. It's all pretty. Hawaii? Is there a direct flight to Hawaii? Actually, I bet you Ken would know, who's in the live chat. We tend not to do a direct flight. We usually fly into Maui. We don't fly into Oahu or the Big Island. But Ken, who's in the live chat, flies to Hawaii often enough. He probably has a better sense of that. There's probably we're the 9th island or 10th island or whatever it is. You'd think there'd be some direct flights, probably from Honolulu, but not that many. Normally what we do to go to Hawaii is we go from here to LA or here to San Francisco and then hop from there to Oahu or to Maui. Okay, let's, what do I want to do? Well, let me have a drink. I am thirsty. Have a drink on me. Have a drink on me. Come on. Yeah. All right. right, it's time for Have a Drink on Me. It's part of the show where I show you a picture of a bar or a speakeasy or a pub that I've been to or that I've stolen a picture from their website, and you try to guess what it is. If you do guess correctly, and we put your name in the super cowboy hat, we're always thinking NFR. Okay, it's not really a cowboy hat, but don't judge me. And we pick it out, you can win some stuff. Co-host? Oh, crap, I don't have a co-host. Pops?
Let me tell you what you can win this week.
This week's Lucky Hat'em winner can choose any one of three amazing Scott Whitney guitar CDs, Crisp Acoustic 1, Crisp Acoustic 2, or the Jazzathon. Proudly displayed here by Bob, undisputed king of the video Hat'em entry. Or you can choose the comfortable and stylish Vegas Video Network visor like lucky winners. Available in the standard black and sometimes in the rare, hard-to-find red, popular with the ladies and the Russians. Or you can choose the premium prize package. The next time you're going to be in Vegas, you can arrange an evening of sophistication and class with the man himself, the guru of all things Vegas, Scott Whitney.
Yay!
Well, okay, at least drinks, laughs, and some priceless conversation.
Send your entry into Have a Drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com. VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Thank you, Popsicle. Nicely done. Yeah, he says thank you for doing it. I want thank you for sending in the video. I think that's very, very cool of you. Now, there are some ways to create extra opportunities to get your name in the hat. If you get a correct answer, you get your name in the hat. If you're in the live chat, when we pick your correct answer, we're going to double your entries. If you're the very first correct answer we receive, another entry. Or if you send a photo or a video of yourself along with the Gajazzathon CD or the Crisp Acoustic CD or pretty much any CD, guess what? That's mine. We're going to give you another opportunity. Now, that's pretty all neat and groovy, and everybody's pretty excited about that, and you should be. But the real question is this. Okay, Scott, so I get your musical CDs or I have a drink on you, and I really appreciate that. That's pretty lovely. But is there any way that I can be moved up on the rank, on the food chain? Humans are pretty up there, but how about superhuman? How about deity? Is there any chance that I could be a part of the bum, 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 galaxy of God? There's Michael and Scott and Vicky and but there's Alan and Aaron. They were nudists who didn't get the memo, and Bob's wife, there is more than there is. There's Danny and Shannon, Jen and Greg and Glenn, who's in Ireland, and Jimmy 2G's. There's Rob, and then there's Ken, who is in Hawaii, and then there's Stuart and Christina and Tom. There's Jackie and Mike and Pops. There's Sammy and Carol, and then, of course, there has to be a dog, and there is Chris, whose liver is in my backyard, there's Brett's dad, and Buddy's Scott, and there is Wayne, and of course, besides Wayne, there is our good buddy, Brett. All right, there you go. La-da-dee. We had 21 out of 21. You people are smart. That's especially impressive given the fact that our clues were confusing. By the way, I learned that when I did pick a winner with Chris 2-3 weeks ago, I actually picked two winners. I ended up sending two emails and taking one back. And then Andy from New Hampshire said, dude, you're okay. You don't need to do this. I just appreciate you hanging out and doing the good work. So I appreciate that, Andy. Andy, of course, is going to heaven. All right. So we had 21 correct out of 21. As a reminder, here is the picture of 2 weeks ago, Hat'em, and the clues were flight bar at Luxor, flight bar at Luxor, and then the flight bar at Luxor. There you go. Okay, let's see who we got. Let's get this party started. All right, here we go. Monica Fagan from Chicago. She's got one for the correct answer. She's got one for being in the live chat. That's a double your pleasure, double your fun. Way to go, Monica. We've got Jimmy 2G's, one for the correct answer from Chicago, and one for being in the live chat. There we got two doubles already. Chicago. And they're both from Chicago. Isn't that interesting? Chicago likes Vegas. Mike Q from PDX. We know Mikey Q is in the live chat. Long time listener. Right now, it's probably, let me think about it. It's raining in PDX. Sorry, that wasn't very nice. He gets a double. Shannon, Neon Vacation over in Minnesota. By the way, he has a website called Neon Vacation. You got to check out Shannon. One for the correct answer, one for being in the live chat. Look at that. Everybody so far has doubled their pleasure, doubled their fun. That's pretty neat. Barbara Shotness, who lives in Wisconsin and plays the clarinet. I think I see here, I see Barb, there she is. One for the correct answer and one for being in the live chat. But Barb is pretty smart. How does one person create four entries? You're about to see how Barb does it. She got one for herself, one for being in the live chat. A little later on, because she's playing the marriage game, get the husband or the significant other involved, and guess what happens? You increase your probability of victory. We got Michael Snow, also known as Chicago Snowman, one for the correct answer, and one for being in the live chat. Way to go. By the way, I watched this back when Chris did it. I'm surprised we were able to pick anybody. Andy in New Hampshire, previous winner. Andy is a good man. Again, he gave me a little latitude. Thank you, Andy. And there's Chet Shotness from Wisconsin. Again, Chet hanging out with the wife. So now they've got their third entry, and now they have their fourth entry. By the way, Scott, have they ever won before? They have. Of course they have, because they're playing the game. Penny Gregory. Not sure where Penny is from. We're going to call her from Guam. Way to go, Penny. Michael Lazowski, who also goes by dun 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 Mad Chipmunk. And if you're a chipmunk, wouldn't you be mad? One for the correct answer, and Mike gets a second one for being in the live chat. Way to go, brother. Telling you, this is the play. And Todd Rudisell from Oklahoma. Todd, of course, we read his question about the NFR. Next up, we've got Gary Romberg, Mr. Testy. Gary wrote to us, big fan of your normal show. Didn't like the show with Chris. I quit drinking 23 years ago. Really disliked the show with Chris. All right, Mr. Testy. Mike Beatty writes, you had to be hungover as hell after the show with Chris. Here's the interesting thing about that. So you'd think so, because we had a couple of drinks. I didn't go to bed till 5 in the morning. The sun was coming up that morning when I went to bed. But I wasn't actually hungover. Now, I had the post-drink tiredness thing. You know, I was just kind of wasn't feeling my best. And I went to bed at 5, I woke up at 10, I had an 11 o'clock appointment, and I actually was with Rosie, and I'm like, this is not going to happen, just so you know. So that didn't work out as well as I liked, but I thought I was a little nervous, I will tell you, after that night for myself. But that's part of the reason why I stayed up at 5. I fucking pumped down water and I'm like, okay, I got to be okay. So Mike Beattie's in there. Aaron Perry from Arizona. Aaron writes, I was the one that came up with the answer. She normally relies on her husband, Alan, to help her with that. But this time, Alan was able to rely on Aaron. So way to go, Aaron. Kevin Whip from Calgary, Canada. Great interview on the last two episodes with Chris. Great work. Thank you so much. Thank you, Kevin. Brett Barnes from Paradise, California. Thanks, Scott, for the wonderful content, especially with Chris and his two segments. So notwithstanding Mr. Testy's response, a lot of people liked that stuff. And Steve I, the wise guy, loved the Living in Las Vegas show. He gets one for the correct answer. And Steve is in the live chat, so he gets another one. Boink. Way to go, Stevie. La-da-dee. La-da-da. Okay, we continue. Bum, bum, bum. Alan Perry from Prescott, Arizona. Alan writes, one for the correct answer. Hey, Scott, the Haddam for the bar this week is Flight Bar at Luxor. In my mind, there are three reasons to visit Luxor. Number one, eat at Sonoran Hot Dog and Tacos and Tequila. Eat a Sonoran Hot Dog. Sonoran Hot Dog at Tacos and Tequila. Number two, see Carrot Top Show. Absolutely. Number three, enjoy a flight of mixed drinks at Flight. We had a flight of four, I think, different flavored cosmopolitans at the flight bar a couple years ago, again, that I still remember as being very tasty. We really enjoyed the epic Zoe Boe show a couple of weeks ago. One of the best LILV shows ever. Alan Prescott, Arizona of the Prescotts. Thank you, Alan. We continue on. Next up, we've got Laura Meekin from the UK. One for the correct answer. Laura writes, "Hey, Scott. Hope you're well and recovered from the show with Chris. So much fun to watch. This week's had him as a flight bar at Luxor Hotel and Casino. Please have Chris back sometime." No. I can't. Look at it. I sacrificed my body for you people. What do you want from me? Best wishes to Brett, as always. Laura. Thank you, Laura. And Craig Daughtry, you may have noticed, wait a minute, you didn't say who the number one entry was. Well, guess what? It was Craig. It was Vegas Dog 222 who was our number one guy. So Craig gets an entry for being correct. And Craig gets another entry for being the very first correct answer. And Craig writes, "Hey, Scott, taking a while to guess at Haddam since we had no clue. Due to the your multiple drinks, that's hurtful. Great show with Chris, and nice job holding your liquor for most of the night. Haddam bar this week is flight at Luxor. Guess it was easy to figure out. Please take a look at last week's show. I think Chris missed my entry for being in the live chat. Vegas Dog 222 out. You think he missed your entry? I should have kept some of the things that he wrote on, because, yeah, you really couldn't tell what he was writing. It was quaint. From a holy shit, I'm sure I can never figure out what he wrote. Now, clearly, Chris's appearance here had an effect, because our next one is, of course, from Pops. And Pops went way out of his way. Special effects in the video? Of course. Ladies and gentlemen, Pops gives us his interpretation of what happened in that interview. Pops, take it away.
"Hey, kids. No magic tricks this week. Last week's show ran a bit long, so in case you didn't stay up for all of it, I'm going to give you a quick recap of what you might have missed. And to help me along, I'm going to use the Chris Phillips hand puppet."
Perfect.
"So, Chris, tell me, your life just changed for the better, didn't it?"
"I met the girl of my dreams, the love of my life, the mother of my children. Getting drunk every night is no longer important to me. Wait, is that Crown?
So, Chris, you love this girl?"
"Yes, I love this girl. I love you. I love Vegas. I love me. I love everybody. Everybody. And I love
these nuts!
Haddam contest? What the hell's a Haddam contest?"
Right.
"No!"
And there you have it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pops, everybody. Pops is also a fan of the Luxor. He wanted to do a shout out to them. "When my intoxicated son and his intoxicated friend got caught trying to sneak up to the top to look around, instead of throwing them out, the security took them on a guided tour to the light at the peak of the pyramid. Very classy move. Good people. I love watching it get out of hand last week. I figured you would." Thank you very much, Pops. Okay, let's see what we got here. La la lee, la la da, dee dee da, dee dee da da. Danny says, "I think I need to go back and watch that show." Yeah, you should. It was epic. Took me 3 weeks to recover from it, but it was epic. Okay, here we go. The winner is, oh, this is somebody who got a double. It's Monica Fagan, everybody. There you go, Monica. Previous winner. You can't win if you don't play. Them are the rules. Monica, I'll send you an email, and you can pick between either a CD, a visor, or a drink on your buddy, Scott. Which is what you took last time, as I recall. All right. Let's take a look at this week's Have a Drink on Me. Yeehaw. Here is this week's Have a Drink on Me. And our three clues are as follows. Clue number one. Given its name, you'd think there'd be a ton of these bars in Washington, D.C., mostly filled by ex-congressmen. Given its name, you'd think there'd be a ton of these bars in Washington, D.C., filled mostly by ex-congressmen. Hint number two. By the looks of it, I'd say the carpet absolutely matches the name of the casino. By the looks of it, I'd say the carpet absolutely matches the name of the casino. And hint number three, the truth is, along with a center bar, most casinos in this town have a bar named just like this one. Our final clue, the truth is, along with a center bar, most casinos in this town have a bar named exactly the name of this bar here as well. If you do know the name of this bar, you'll send your answer to haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. Again, haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. And there you go, everybody. I believe I called 75 and a hook. I think I'm about right on it. Okay, if you want to reach out to us, easy to do. You can send an email to onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq, right down there at livinginlv.com. We're also capable of getting yourself a little bit of voicemail. I don't want to use your phone. I don't want you to use your phone either. Just go to our webpage, vegasvideonetwork.com. You're going to click on a little red orangey tab on the right side, and then you're going to click that little button that says start recording. And because you have a microphone attached to your computer, you're going to be able to leave voicemail without ever having to pick up your phone. That, by the way, is magic. Hey, we're also on iTunes. Why don't you leave us a 5-star review? Why don't you? We're on YouTube. Give us a thumbs up. Share us with your friends. You're also going to find us on Roku, where we have over 32,200 accounts installed. We're on Stitcher. We're on TuneIn. We're on Chromecast. We're on Apple, Google, and Fire TV, Google Play. And, of course, we're on the Vegas Video Network website as well. That's it, everybody. Thank you so much for checking us out. Thanks to the live chat for playing along, all the people who send their questions. You guys are the bestest of the bestest. That's it. This is, again, the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. Take care, everybody. Ticket.